We're holding here in the middle of the piece about Chushim Ben Dan. So briefly, we saw last time, it's in the Agarata, it's Memches, where they went to bury Yaakov Avinu in Eretz Yisrael, in Hebron. Esav stood there and he said, yeah, it's my place. And they went back to get the shtar. And while they were handling with it, Chushim Ben Dan came by and he said, what's going on? And he told him. So he immediately hit, he immediately killed Esav and so on. That's the Chazal over here. So last time we spoke about the Inyan, I mean, we saw the Maral, about the Inyan of why was it Chushim Ben Dan of all the people who was the one that was arted? Now is there's the second piece of morale in Viyesh Chaladas. Viyesh Chaladas ki ro'ui le'esav she'nerag b'yad Chushim Ben Dan dafke sh'achim eshvatim. So he said, so the first part dealt with the whole exchange and he didn't hear and so on and so forth. He said there's a reason why Chushim Ben Dan should be killed dafke, Esav killed dafke Chushim Ben Dan. Chushim Ben Dan is, first of all, Dan is the lower shevet. It's considered the bottom of the totem pole. Ubimedrish yesh ki Yehuda hargay. If all of nema yotcha ba'erev ha'vecha. Mashevi rash is al p'yir shachumish. So you have a machloikis to medrashim, whether it's Yehuda or it was Chushim Ben Dan. Klal adove, ki ariga zay zuruya l'roish ha'shvotim o la'achren ha'shvotim. V'zeh. Ki Yaakov ve'Esav noldu bebeten echad, ve'im kol ze hem misnagdim hefechim, ab mitzar atzmam nimtzoyim biyachad, da'inu mitzar anigla, ab mikoyach haniste hem misnagdim, ve'koch Yaakov goval Esav. Olefikach zer Yaakov she'nimsham koch nisar Yaakov, ki bo iin azer ha'kodesh azat she'zer she'Yaakov, muchalagas Esav, as Esav. Let's talk about this and let's discuss the point that he's saying over here. There's something about the Torah makes a big deal about Esav and Yaakov being twins. The Navi says, "Hello, Achu Yaakov leEsav, Esav Yaakov, and I loved Yaakov and I hated Esav." The two Seirim that are brought in Yom Kippur have to be shovel, chatchila lemitzvah, that be shovel bekoima and everything and so on and so forth. What's the inyan of this? Like, why do you have this idea that it has to be that has to be shove and mare and koyma and all of these inyanim? So, the nekuda is like this. The within the bria itself, there's tachlis, and there is emtsoi. Now, let's give an example. Imagine a person has, I'll use a contemporary example, an Arab and an Israeli, and he asks you, how do you distinguish between an Arab and Israeli? So the Arab is wearing a kafiyah, the Israeli is wearing this, he looks like this, looks like that. The distinguishing features that I say are different. Let's say I have an Arab and an Israeli, let's say I have the Israeli as a spy and he's trying to infiltrate the Arab, an Arab country. So he's going to look like an Arab. He's going to speak like an Arab. He's going to try to have the same mentality like an Arab. And the more he's doimed to the Arab, the better it is. So let's say you have this perfect spy. How do you distinguish between him and the others? The answer is because the tachlis, his tachlis is to for the sake of the Arabs, his tachlis for the sake of Israelis. So in the ultimate nafkemine is going to have to be only in the matara. And the better a fight it is, the better the means will look exactly the same, and it's going to be in that the difference will be in the tachlis. Now, so let's take that case. So you take Eli Cohen, the famous spy. They send him off to Syria. So while he was in Syria, he's supposed to be exactly like a Syrian, and there's supposed to be no nafkamina. The nafkamina that does happen is two nafkaminas. One is his starting point. Where did he come from? He came from Israel in order to spy. Two, the end of it, you know, when he comes back with the report, with the pictures, whatever it is. So the ultimate difference between those two things that are alike is going to be in what we'll call the Nekuda Pnimis, which has two times that it's marked, Aschala and Saif. Everything in the middle can look the same. This is true about everything in the world. Lamashal, we live in a world that can definitely be mistaken for a world of Teva. Scientists sit and research, and everything are wheels pushing wheels. And there is no way in which to distinguish now between the two. The two ways in which we can distinguish between a Teva and a Bria is Tachlis, V'hoye b'yoy mahu, Yashem erash me'echad, and Bracious. So in the word Bracious, that has to be, you know, it's the Sheirish, the Racious, is Ribbono Shalom, you know, the Lifnei HaKol and V'achri Kichlis HaKol, those are two points that are the Eibishter. So whenever I want to have two items that I want to see the nafkamina, I need to obliterate the chitzonistic nafkaminas, and in order to do that, I make them alike until I come to the nekuda pnimis, to the etzem nekuda, and this is where I find the difference. And it's true about every time when I speak about the word opposites, things that go at an angle to each other are not opposites. A 45 degree angle to a straight line is not opposite. 180 degree angle is opposite. But 45 degrees means there are some elements similar, some elements divergent. So in the Bria itself, in this chalk, in the ultimate is chalkos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and not HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is going to be in Toiv and Ra and Toiv. Now, if Ra and Toiv is going to have other elements of divergence, we'll mix it up. Lamashal, if somebody will come along with a research that treif of food is bad for your health and kosher food is good for your health, So then there's a problem. So then what I'm doing is I'm not helping. I'm obfuscating the real difference, because this other difference that happens to be that way is something which is it's telling me not that there's an akuta pnimis that's different. It's something about the chitzonis that's different. It doesn't allow me to focus on the pnimis. It's only when I say this and this, there's a Rashi like that in the Sedra 2 weeks ago in Kedoshim, in Kedoshim or in Achrei, the end of the Parsha, it says Ola Havdil ben Atomei LaToher. So Rashi says it doesn't have to tell me Le Havdil ben Atomei LaToher between a Par and a Chamor. Between a Par and a Chamor doesn't need a Maisa Havdala. The lehavdil is between shechting 50% and shechting 50.1% of the animal. That's lehavdil. In other words, havdalah is where you've pinpointed the contrast to one specific item and one specific nekuda. That's so in that, and saying that a par is kosher and a chamor is not kosher doesn't give me a sharp definition of what's kosher, what's not kosher. It's when I pinpointed on the exact, on this cutting with the knife, that one dot between 50% to plus 50% plus, that makes it that's mavla between the two. So the klal is in the ultimate. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to be megala toiv in the bria, he doesn't distinguish it from ra by many characteristics, because then it's not of the same nature. It's when I have two things that are exactly alike, but the very pneumistic and the kudus are opposite. That's when I have a real opposite. So if Esav and Yaakov would have been, so even though the Torah does give us some simonim in terms of, you know, he was Iseir, he was Ishcholak, but Tachlis, the Torah, they're twins, which means genetically they're the same. It means that Mitzad, where they grew up in the same place. It's except that there is a distinguishing factor in Toiv and Ra. So Yaakov's Mida is something which specifically is that. That's Mida of Emes. It means that I need to get that Nekuda of the difference, because they're both brothers, and here's the difference. The same thing is true with the Soyer LaZozel and the Soyer and the Soyer LaShem. If there would be distinguishing characteristics, the Soyer LaShem is bigger, fatter, nicer, whatever. So then I would say Hashem likes fancy karbanis, and you know, Azazel, we give him just kind of what's good enough for Azazel, and that's that. I wouldn't be oimid on the Etzem Chiluk Tov Ra. The Etzem Chiluk of Tov Ra for us is Ratzon Hashem and not Ratzon Hashem. So when I have nothing to distinguish the two, except that the girl here came out Lashem, and the girl here came out Lazoz, that's the only difference. That's when I hear the difference between Ratzon Hashem and not Ratzon Hashem. That's the only difference between the two. So in the big picture of Kedusha and Tumah and Toiv and Ra, the ideal is to get it, is to get them as similar as possible, and then to find that Nekuda. It's just like Lahavda, the Milsa Pshitasa, when you do research. So what you try to do is you have two groups. You have a control group and the group that you're testing. You try your hardest to eliminate every distinction between the two groups, and that the only distinction will be that this guy is taking, you know, flaxseed oil, and this guy's not taking flaxseed oil. Or else, I'm not sure. It's a lot of times, you know, it's one of the classic faults of all of these. This group took vitamin C, and look how gesund und stark they are. Yeah, because the type of people who take vitamin C also exercise. They also stay on the head. I don't know what they do. You have a lot of things coming with it. But if I want to pinpoint this Nekuda, so the difference between Esav and Yaakov is theoretically they're the same, except the Shirish and the end result. It's so there are two Shvatim in Klal Yisrael who represent Shirish and Seif. Yehuda, that Shirish as much. Yehuda is the Chalutz of the Amachne. Yehuda is the king. Asher Yetzi Lifnehem. Asher Yovel Lifnehem. He's the one who goes before everybody else. As Yehuda Sholach Lahoyers Goishna, he sent Yehuda first. So Yehuda represents the first Nekuda, and Dan is the Ma'asiv Chol HaMachnes. Dan is the tail end, and Chushim Ben Dan is the very end of that. It's interesting how our choices are Yehuda, and not versus Dan, but versus Chushim Ben Dan. In other words, either the very, very, very first or the very, very, very last. Those are our two. So Tachlis and Roish and Seif are the same. Whatever it is that I have in mind, that's what comes out. And the same thing, the ultimate Gil of Ribbono Shalom is only beginning or end. So in the Nekud of Bracious, there's nobody else. And it's the, you know, before anything, there was HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ukolzman, there's a Bria. One can understand the Bria as being teva, and it's only when a person in Seif Pasik, you once again Hakadosh Baruch Hu megal himself. It's when everything leads to and it realizes itself. That's where the head of the Bereshit, because out of a random input, you cannot get an organized output. So the output, if the output is coherent, intelligent, with a mahalach, it must be that the Sheresh is also like that. So if we're talking about fighting Esav, and Esav representing the polar opposite of Yaakov, and this is where it comes to head. In other words, Yaakov and Esav were born from a common womb. So Esav's taina was, we both need to end up in the same place. We both need, you know, if our shirish is the same, then our gemar should be the same. To which the reply was that, no, this is exactly where you have the gilui of that in the seif pasik, you don't have a makom. We both were conceived in the womb of somebody who's laying here, my father's laying here, and yet the gilui of what really was now a shayrish is mizgala now that I belong there, you don't belong there. So that's what he says over here. Chushim ben Dan is the one that's Masah Shivim Nefesh, or Beshvil Shumasah Shivim Nefesh Roy will Hashem Oisem Gamkin Asalik as Aloichem Negda. I would also suggest the following point. Chushim ben Dan was the lowest of the Shvatim. Besides the fact from Dan, the Gemara says Vacharshay Noisem Demei Kulam. A cheresh is like somebody who's dead. So the Gemara says if you make somebody to a cheresh, you have to pay the entire value of the person. So in a certain sense, chushim in that sense is the lowest, he's the bottom point. And Adrab, but that's where you have that gilui of it. I want to add one more place like that where you see sometimes a certain gilui of an of the end point, of the bottom point. It says by Yaakov, by Yitzchak, by Yorach, Esreich, Begodov, and HaKadosh Baruch, and he was by Yivarcheu. So Chazal said, Tikri, Begodov, Ala Boigdov, that he was oimed on two people in Klal Yisrael who turned against Klal Yisrael, and in the end, in the very, very last point of their lives, they came back again. So in other words, in the process, you may not detect. Here, Yaakov had children who were Mishamadim, and they helped the Romans. But at the very end is where you, at the last Nekuda, is where you see the Seif Pasik of Zer Yaakov. So he says, "When the Medrash Shama Yehuda Hargoy, Mipnei Shehu Melech Loichem Emisnagdim, Kamei Kol Melech, Lekach Roy LeDavaze Bifrat, Olefikach Ama Yehuda Hargoy." The Gemara did done Ika, Sha'ama Chushim ben Dan Hargak, Mashur Mazlucha Bepnimis HaChachma. So I'm not sure what he's referring to. Is he referring to over here in what he said till now? He doesn't speak about Chushim ben Dan any other place. He speaks about him in Gevurah Hashem a little bit. When he speaks about why is he counted as the 70th in Ayin Nefesh, it's not the 70th, it's the 68th or whatever it is. But Al Kapanim, over there he speaks about it. So he says Al Piderach Al Plimus Achachma. It seems to me that this is more noted than that. I'm not sure what he means over here. Does he mean Midas Malchus? I'm not sure. So the Gemara says over here that they both ended up dying in the same day, being buried in the same day, and b'meila, Rivka's nevuah of Loma Shakel Shnechem Yom Echad is correct. So he says that it was she didn't just say it. It was roi that they would both die the same day. This is also it's parallel to the fact that their lives were parallel. They were both born together, they died together, and it's like the sir that they're very dumb except for this nekuda. I want to add one more point to this, why they have to die together. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's tachlis in the Bria was to be megala kvod shemayim, to be megala yichudo, however you want to describe it, it's there to be megala something. That's possible only if zelu maseh baruch lakim. So the zelu maseh baruch lakim, that everything good has a bad counterpart, and for every sphere that's good, there's a sphere that's bad, and all that, everyone understands it in terms of bechira, in terms of schar, and so on. There's another deeper nekuda to it. I want to talk about it in a minute. In a world that is all white, the color white has no meaning to it. It doesn't mean anything. The only reason why white means something is because there's black, because there's green. The describing something is possible because I contrast it to something else. So Lamashal, in before they discovered space and so on, the idea of weightlessness or weight it wasn't a quality that we could speak about as a quality. Of course everything weighs something, because everything exists. It's only when we discover that there's a framework where things don't weigh anything, that weighing something is has meaning to it. Toiv cannot have a meaning without consciously get to ra. So the musig of toiv, Zel Umaseh Baruch Lakim, means that this parallel mahalach we're talking about, we have two tracks and they're constantly parallel, it's necessary. If the tachlis is to teach us what is toiv, to be megala what is toiv, you cannot have it without ra. A lot of times when you hear a confusing statement, if let's say someone tells you, well, tomorrow the Dolom is going to come for Shachris. That statement means, and you say, as opposed to what? That they don't come on tomorrow, or the Dolom doesn't come, or they don't have Shachris. What are you saying with that sentence? If people come every day of the year to the Shul to Daven, I say tomorrow the Dolom will come to Daven Shachris, it looks strange. That statement, that's... You're describing the situation, but in order to describe it, I need to contrast it. Zelum Azebar Lakim means, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu's tachlis was a certain gilui of Elikus, without having a world where Elikus and no Elikus come together, that could not be realized. Gilui needs a contrast, how to be galit. So Bemela, he says, so if Esav were to continue living after Yaakov, he has no reason for existing. Why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu want Ra in the world? For Yaakov to continue living after Esav is gone is also pointless, because I'm not getting a sharper definition of Toiv. Any part of his life that's past Esav's life doesn't have the challenge, doesn't have the background, the black background, to give me what white is. So when Rivka said, "Lama shakal sechav yemechad," that nevuah is goes to the heart of what Esav Yaakov represent. V'chem Hashem Rivka lama shakal sechav yemechad roi sheisilukim roilam biyemechad v'yerim asher tomim betenechad u'bemedrash haniska amru Yehuda hargam me'achayev shleisav. V'lama hargam me'achayev. Nisha Cluster Pun Shaizav Derm Liyakov. So the same idea, it's Cluster Punim was similar, which again is interesting because the Pasuk does contrast them physically. I mean, Esav was a real bulvan, and he was a, redheaded and, you know, red and so on. But Akapanim and the Chazal say something, the Cluster Punim was similar enough that it would have been a bizoin to Yaakov. I always wonder, Der Chagav, just the Maima Muzgar, you know, in Eretz Yisrael, at least when I lived there, they had all these picture books for kids, these books that, you know, they used to sell them from door to door when our family was growing up. And, you know, all sorts of stories in kind of picture book form, comic book form. And the guy was always Boris. And he was thick, red, angry, drunk, and always swinging a club one way or another. Now, I don't know how else, but you're portraying a caricature which could come back to haunt you. So the difference between us and Goyim is we're super refined and they're super grub. The problem is when the kid grows older, and if he moves out of Meir Sharm, he might find out it's not like that exactly. I don't know if you're helping them cope with life practically, but I also think just like it says lehavdil ben atomei latohor, you know, somebody recently wrote an article. It wasn't published, and I thought it was a pretty horrible article. He wrote an article about academic works on Gemara, on this and that. It was all the type of stuff, you know, like they would the type of bobs they would toss in a coffee room in a yeshiva. Yeah, if a guy writes Maimonides, you right away know it says that. So forget about everything else. What are you gaining if you're showing? Let's say you catch stuff that's nonsense, real nonsense. The guy doesn't know what he's talking about. If you're contrasting that with Torah, that's not saying a lot. I mean, what you want to do is explain why even a mahalach that's good and grounded and sichlistic is very different than what you're looking for. If you can't be mechalik between something that's shechted 50% and 51%, and the only thing you mechalik is between a par and a chamer, you haven't done much. Then what's the point of having all the chamer? Mixing up a par and a chamer doesn't take an awful lot of seichel, and the par and the chamer doesn't have much reason to exist. It's only when you want to show a difference between shchut to machtzis, shchut to mora machtzis, that you have some sort of point to it. Okay, so the Medrash says, "Dovazayu shnei asirim b'yom kippurim shavim gamken kinisa b'yuma sheishnei asirim shavim kasher romzu b'medrash leichna latzayin v'kachdim sham shnei di izim tovim from tovim lecha v'tovim v'necha." So again, she took out two di izim. It's a remez for the future. Harei lecha ki Yaakov Esav shavim. So that's this piece over here. I want to add another point. Looking at the whole picture, there were two things over here that could have made that could have made them equal. One is length of life. Secondly is place of burial. Mokom and Zman. In length of time of living, both of them lived exactly the same amount of time. There was no distinction, and it's roya should be that way. Mitzad Mokom, that's where you had this Chazal over here, we had a big difference. So it's interesting. Mitzad the Zman, you have the being equal is coexisting, is vital, absolutely. Mitzad the Mokom, that they had to be distinct, and this is what this whole fight was about. And it was an either-or situation, either me or him. Why is the chalukah between makom and zman? So I was thinking the following. If we ask ourselves, what is zman is shayach to olam hazeh, meaning time is the measure of change. If there is no change, if somebody has a flat picture and everything there, he took a picture of something, there is no change in the picture between 100 years ago and now. Obviously if picture fades, but I'm talking about the content, it's the same. Because so I can't say that this picture is 100 years old. The people here didn't age 100 years. I can say it's of something that happened 100 years ago because these people really aged. But Luyitzu, there wouldn't be Zman. Luyitzu, there's no change. Then there is no time. And this is, you know, I mean, people always, I mean, again, I'm not the mumcha to speak about it, but we talk about Einstein's relativity, that if you're going quickly, then time goes quicker and this and that. What you mean by time goes quicker is the rate of things happening, whether it's atoms disintegrating, whether it's the body disintegrating, whether it's the metal being fatigued, whatever it is, it's a rate of change. That's what we mean by time. And there's no way to say this is quicker or slower. But it only means on the rate of change. That's a quality that shayach to olam hazeh. When we speak about Kadosh Baruch Hu Yudkei Vavkei, we speak about him transcending time. Because there's no change. There is nothing that changes in Hashem. So b'meila, the word, the concept time is absolutely meaningless as God's Kadosh Baruch Hu. Makom, we speak about menucha. So resting, coming to a place, is sort of a final permanent mitzias. A makom defines some mitzias in a permanent way. So zman defines a process. Makom defines an essence of something, as much as possible. And that's why Beis HaMikdash, once it came to Menucha, once it came to Yerushalayim, it could never change again. It became fixed. You know, when it came to Yerushalayim, Bamis became Asa forever and ever. And that's called Menucha. So the Metzias of everything, Maral also speaks in different places that the reason why in a get we write the Makom is because the Makom is part of the Metzias of the people. Even though it was written on temporary, you know, it's when they were in this place, happened to be. But a makom defines something. A zman is a process. So in the state of process, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is still unveiling, revealing, so there, Esav and Yaakov go hand in hand. You don't have, like we said before, there is nothing being given over to the world with just an Esav or a Yaakov. And therefore the time span that they commanded was exactly the same time span. I have a parallel ha'ara that I would like to say. One of the biggest tenets of history is that whenever you study a particular movement, idea, person, and so on, you do it in the context of everything else that was happening. That's one of the axioms of history, that never look in isolation and look at it as part of, so if you had such and such a thinker, such and such a writer, such as a painter, what was it in the world around that brought it about? So the place in which we have a real problem with them is that Lamarshall, you know, they will take any figure in the Messiah Satira and simply peg him as a product of his times. So if the Vilna Gaon has a certain derech halimud, somebody's going to explain why and where it was again his time. I remember somebody wrote some rubbish about Reb Chaim Brisker's derech halimud was very similar to legal thinking in that era. I'm not a mumcha, but this person's position was, since Reb Chaim Brisker was in Volozhin, a lot of people were reading a scholar literature, so it infiltrated via Volozhin to them. It's garbage. I mean, it's stupidity. I mean, it's just not that they weren't doing it. But it's just the whole. I mean, just person was low. But that's the idea. So that, in a certain sense, basically says that Torah doesn't develop from within; it develops from outside, which is basically a sort of a borderline, I don't know, kfira, but a denial of the internal validity of Torah and its mesiris and the chacham and so on. But there is something that I do think is important. HaKadosh Baruch Hu divided the world into zmanim, into epochs, and each one has a ruach. The 1700s had a certain ruach. The 1300s had a ruach. There was Middle Ages. There was Renaissance. There was Age of Reason. All of these tkufis had in themselves a ruach that swept the world by hashgacha, and you parallel. You saw something by the Goyim, and it means that in Torah, our avodah was to develop things consciously, not consciously, but to develop things that would be similar to it. There would be a zelum hazeh. The zelum hazeh is a principle, and therefore there is, with a lot of reservation, when there's a reason why the same 1700s that produced such revolutions in terms of authority and the willingness to contest accepted understanding, so forth, it did affect us. It affected us. That was a lot by the influence of the Goyim, but I think that meant our Aveda was to counter it. So anything that has to do with Zman is the change in the world, the Tkufis in the world, Umachlif is a Zmanim, the Olam Cholif, and that belongs to this. Anything that has to do with a final destination, it says va'omdu raglo b'yemahu and harazesim. Menucha requires a certain place. A motel is not a menucha. It's a place that it's part of a journey. Vayachnu vayisu. There's the vayisu. There's the yachnu. The menucha is the final point of it. So Esa v'Yaakov in the Zman part of it were exactly the same Zman. The Zman of Leida and the Zman of Misa, Kvura. And in Mokom, Yaakov reached that Mokom of Menucha and Esav did not. Okay, we'll hold it here. Any questions, any points?
Notice that, I don't know how it fits in exactly, but by Amalek, you see a Rashis and an Acharis by Amalek.
Well, you see a Rashis, right, exactly. Rashis, Amalek is Rashis going, Vachris ad Oved means he doesn't have an Acharis. He has a pretend Rashis, does not have, but in the Acharis, the fact, if it's Achris ad Oved, means it's in its Sheresh, it was self-destruct. If I see a movement, if communism imploded, it means it because b'shrusha it's wrong. It didn't meet an obstacle. By the way, if you can pass it to Amalek, Yashakorcha baderech. Amalek knew that the place he could hit Klai Yisrael was Dafke. The pasuk points it out. It's very fascinating. The pasuk points out how much of a Russia Amalek is. So let's think about it. The norm is that the people that I have my most problems with are my neighbors. So a guy moves into the block, I don't like the person and whatever it is, so I start pushing him out. And the Israelis and the Palestinians live on the same piece of land that they're fighting about, so there's a fight. If somebody happens just to travel through, even if I don't like him terribly much, he goes. He doesn't represent any danger to me, especially he's traveling through. So the nations that fought to Klal Yisrael over land, that's forgivable. They wanted the land, it may not have been theirs, but we're talking about the fighting over a thing. Amalek comes when we're baderech. So that means it's not anything in particular we have that they want, it's us. Whatever it is that we're accomplishing, but derech, that's the zeluma set to eradicate us dafkan the derech.